Psychological warfare has been waged against America for much of this century. This war for the mind of the public has been facilitated by the emergence of mass media and the transformation of American education by behavioral psychologists. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their human qualities and freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control.
Mind control in America.
The most effective way to protect yourself from subconscious manipulation is by being aware of how it works. What the conscious mind believes, the subconscious acts on. It works like programming a computer. Information is fed into a computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if the information fed into the computer is wrong, it still acts on it. If a person believes something that is not true, the memory banks of the subconscious mind do not correct the error, but act on it. The theory of cognitive dissonance holds that the mind automatically and involuntarily rejects information not in line with previously accepted thoughts and beliefs. Many of the things that people believe are never questioned, especially when the information has come from a reliable source. It becomes easy to lose sight of why people believe some of the things that they do.
Und der Führer, Adolf Hitler, sich!
People can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed and presented by an accepted and respected authority. The purpose of propaganda is to direct public attention to certain facts.
The whole art consists in doing this so skillfully that everyone will be convinced that the fact is real,
wrote Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. To be effective, propaganda must constantly short-circuit all conscious thinking and operate on the individual subconsciously. The principles behind the big lie of propaganda are the same principles of mind control, hypnotic suggestion, mental programming, distraction, and repetition. Distraction focuses the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses in order to stop conscious thinking, thus producing a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Think of the times you have caught yourself staring blankly at the television screen, losing all sense of time and place. When you stop conscious thinking and your mind goes blank, this is the hypnotic state of mind. This altered state occurs naturally, but can also be induced by clever manipulation. Think of the times you have seen flashing words in TV commercials. The flashing words are a distraction for your eyes to lock onto in order to induce hypnosis. The purpose of this is to reduce any resistance to the message by stopping all thought and analysis. Watching television often produces an altered state of consciousness. Though not consciously perceived, the television screen, while appearing static, actually flickers. Any repeating light or sound pattern can lead you into an altered state. A hypnotist uses patterned speech by varying the pacing and inflection of his voice to induce this state of mind in his subject. It is in this state of mind where one is the most receptive to mental programming. Whether or not the information takes hold in the mind depends on two factors: trust in the source of the information and repetition of the message. Trust in the source of the information induces acceptance of the message as true even if it is not understood. Repetition of the message embeds it in the subconscious so that acceptance of its truth and accuracy becomes a conditioned response. Thus, this information will be accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again. Subliminal perception is the process whereby you receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. The message in the form of printed words, pictures, or voices is presented either so rapidly or so faintly that you are not consciously aware of having seen or heard anything. In 1957, marketing researcher and psychologist James Vickery tested subliminal ads in a New Jersey movie theater. The messages,
"Hungry? Eat popcorn."
And,
"Drink Coca-Cola."
were flashed on the screen at 1/3,000th of a second every 5 seconds during the movie. Sales increased for popcorn and Coca-Cola. Every major advertising agency in North America has sponsored extensive research into subliminal perception. Vance Packard's 1957 book, The Hidden Persuaders, revealed that American industry was researching the use of subliminal messages to motivate people to buy their products. Dr. Wilson Brian Key has documented in 4 books the widespread use of subliminal ads by the advertising industry. Messages programmed directly to the subconscious bypass critical analysis and the conscious choice to accept or reject the message. Repetition of the message constitutes mental programming. Subliminal messages have been used in music, radio, television, and movies. In November 1957, TV station WTWO in Bangor, Maine, experimented with projecting a subliminal message on television. In 1958, radio station KOL in Seattle broadcast subliminal messages under the music played by its disc jockeys.
"How about a cup of coffee?"
was one, and another was,
"Someone's at the door."
The movie The Exorcist used both subliminal sounds and pictures. A full-screen death mask of Father Karras was flashed on the screen at 1/48th of a second a number of times during the movie. The consciously unnoticed word pig appeared many times throughout the movie. The terrified squealing of pigs being slaughtered and the buzzing sound of angry bees was mixed into the soundtrack. Laboratory experiments show that people will react to certain words, pictures, and sounds with quickened pulse, faster breathing, sweating palms, and other indications of heightened emotions. People actually fainted in response to this movie. Many became nauseous, and many had nightmares. William Peter Blatty, the author of the novel and producer of the movie, was a CIA operative who served as the policy branch chief of the Psychological Warfare Division of the United States Air Force.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars."
On October 30th, 1938, thousands of people fled from a crisis that had no existence except in their imaginations. A radio broadcast of a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds led thousands of listeners to believe that the planet Earth had been invaded by Martians. The 1983 TV movie Special Bulletin about terrorists exploding an atomic bomb in Charleston, South Carolina, prompted numerous calls to stations across America from people who wanted to know if it was real. In both instances, despite disclaimers, people thought they were listening to an authentic newscast. Think for a moment about the way newscasters speak, and you will realize that they all talk the same way, regardless of their ethnic background, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental. With few exceptions, they all sound alike. The patterned speech of a newscaster is similar to that of a hypnotist. The eye contact made with the viewer is also used by the hypnotist. Emotions can be stirred, attitudes and states of mind revealed by nuances of tone and variation in vocal quality. The camera can reveal the smallest movement of the most subtle change of expression and give it significance and definition. With the selective use of camera angles and judicious cutting, it is simple to distort the meaning of what someone says not only by cutting out statements, but by cutting in a reaction shot or by adding laughter or applause. A picture may be worth 1,000 words, but it can also deceive one into believing something that is not true. The practice of staging events and employing impersonators of political figures was often used by the early newsreel companies. The capacity to lie with a picture and be undetected has been greatly enhanced by modern computer technology. Is it possible that all verbal and nonverbal communication has been identified, defined, and reduced to a code that can be manipulated? Is it possible to program an entire population to respond to certain words, images, vocal qualities, body movements, gestures, and expressions? The result of such programming would be a population that is highly suggestible, a population that can be manipulated with precision. '60s rock superstar Jimi Hendrix said,
"You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say."
The power of music has been recognized throughout history. Plato and Aristotle believed that people could be controlled by music. Music affects the emotions, the mind, and the body. Sound causes changes in body chemistry, blood pressure, breathing, and digestion. Fast music will speed up the nervous system, while slow music will slow it down. The entire body is sensitive to sound. Low tones will vibrate in the lower parts of the body, and high tones will vibrate in the higher portions and on into the head. Even sounds that cannot be heard affect you. Low-frequency infrasonic sounds affect the internal organs and can cause headaches, nausea, dizziness, and fatigue. Much of today's popular rock music is built around a heavy bass pattern louder than the melody. These loud, low-frequency vibrations and the driving beat of most rock music affect the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland produces hormones that control male and female sexual responses. These low-frequency vibrations vibrate in the lower parts of the body so that the music feels good. Though the message of some rock music is thoughtful and positive, the message of many rock videos and the music, particularly heavy metal, is a negative mental program that glorifies violence and deviant behavior. A visit to your local record store to check the lyrics on the back of the albums will reveal recurring themes preoccupied with violence, rape, sadomasochism, suicide, illicit sex, drug and alcohol abuse, fascination with the occult, and in some instances, race antagonism. Backward masking, where a message is spoken or sung that intentionally means something else when played backwards, has been used in some rock music since the Beatles first used the technique. The subconscious can decode and read messages spoken or sung backwards. When played backwards, the song "Miss Me Blind" by Culture Club repeats the message, "Be in sin when you're not," over and over again. First, listen to the music cut played forwards. Played backwards, the message is, "Be in sin when you're not." The use of backward masking may be far more extensive than anyone suspects. There are literally hundreds of examples and a disturbing proliferation of satanic messages. For example, from the album Raising Hell by Run DMC, listen to the music cut played forwards. Played backwards, the message is Hail Satan. It is important to note that the lyrics of many rock songs are not clearly distinguishable consciously. When you do not hear the message clearly, you cannot make the conscious choice to accept or reject it. When you cannot make that choice, or when that choice is taken away from you, the message is programmed to your subconscious without your being aware of it. The repeating beat of the music is a distraction for the conscious mind to lock onto in order to stop conscious thinking, thus causing the hypnotic state of mind, a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Repetition of the message constitutes mental programming. In time, the effects of this kind of programming will appear. These effects can be physical, psychological, and emotional.
No!
Numerous motion pictures have precipitated violence over the years. The Warriors, one of a number of movies about street gangs, was followed by a rash of violence in cities across the nation. Approximately 28 people died playing Russian roulette in response to seeing the deer hunter. The press reported that John Hinckley Jr. told his attorneys that the idea to assassinate President Reagan came to him after seeing the movie Taxi Driver. A report released in 1982 by the National Institute of Mental Health said,
"Violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers who watch the programs."
Dr. Thomas Neroot from the U.S. Naval Hospital at NATO headquarters in Naples investigated the use of film to train servicemen who were not inclined to kill to be able to do so. Films were screened which showed people being maimed or killed violently to desensitize the men to those acts. A progressively more graphic depiction of violence in movies, television, and music desensitizes people, especially young people, to real-life violence and increases tension, anxiety, and fear among older people who perceive increasing lawlessness and the breakdown of society. A University of Massachusetts study of crime programs on television reveals that law enforcement officers are often shown breaking and entering illegally, failing to inform suspects of their rights, terrorizing and coercing witnesses, and accepting bribes. Constitutional guarantees are regarded as bothersome technicalities that hinder the police in the performance of their duty. Professors Catch and Ahrens, who conducted the study, said,
"Police shows seem to reduce the ordinary citizen's awareness of constitutional rights and responsibilities. Many people engrossed in the drama of rapid-fire action or preoccupied with violence fail even to notice blatant police state tactics."
The Supreme Court has consistently expanded police powers and governmental authority while curtailing individual rights, thus enacting into law principles much like those presented on TV crime programming. The relationship between the increase in crime and the decrease in individual rights is a classic example of the Hegelian principle of bringing about change in a three-step process. The first step is to create a problem. The problem in this case is the increase in crime brought about in part by mass media programming of criminal behavior, making violence an acceptable means of problem solving, especially among young people. The second step is to create opposition to the problem. In other words, create anxiety and fear in the public so that people demand that something be done about it. The third step is to offer the solution to the problem that may entail a restriction of individual rights or some other predetermined goal, thus bringing about change that would have been impossible to impose on people without proper psychological conditioning. By causing emotional stress and mental confusion, judgment is impaired and suggestibility increased. Under these conditions, People allow their rights to be diminished without realizing its ramifications. The war on drugs is another example of this strategy in action. In 1936, a movie used hypnotic suggestion to give the audience instructions to do something. That movie was Reefer Madness. This movie used hypnotic techniques to both encourage marijuana use and promote anti-marijuana legislation. Speaking to a PTA meeting, high school principal Dr. Carroll commands parents,
"You and all other school parent groups about the country, and you must stand united on this and stamp out this frightful assassin of our youth. You can do it by bringing about compulsory education on the subject of narcotics in general, but dread marijuana in particular. That is the purpose of this meeting, ladies and gentlemen, to lay the foundation for a nationwide campaign by you to demand by law such compulsory education."
This is the end of side one. Turn over the tape for the continuation of Mind Control in America.